You're listening to 89.1 Grace Christian Radio. Up next is a replay of our Sunday, April 16th Sunday service.
Come, just as you are before your God. Come, oh, one day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains.
So Let's sing that the Lord is good.
You are good, good, oh, you are good, good, oh, you are good, so good, oh, you are good, good, oh.
Let's sing that one more time and just declare his goodness.
You are good. Good. Hallelujah.
been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God.
All my life.
The goodness.
we look forward to.
And Lord, haste the day when thy face shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll.
Hallelujah.
And the drums shall
the children make their way to Children's Church. All the little ones can make their way to Children's Church. It's good to see all the little ones heading off, getting ministered to, being blessed in so many ways, and we have to stay behind. And listen to me. If you have your Bibles this morning, if you want to go to 1 John. 1 John. Chapter 2. I'm sorry, chapter 1. Verse 5. And I want to talk this morning about the power of God's forgiveness. The power of God's forgiveness. How many know that God delights in forgiving us? That's the whole reason that Jesus died on the cross. And we just came through Easter. Was to forgive us of our sins. To cleanse us and to minister to us. To purify us. Father, I just pray this morning. As your word goes forward today, Lord. That you would speak to us and minister to us. Father, we're so thankful for the worship time we just experienced. Lord, what a time it was in your presence. We just want to continue on, Lord, allowing your Spirit to speak, to minister. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Verse 5. I'm reading from the New King James. It says, this is the message which we have heard from him. How many know those are the messages that we need? If there's ever been a time that we need to hear directly from the throne room of heaven, it's today. We don't need a message from man. We need a message from God. We need the Lord to speak to us like he's never spoken to us before. I pray this morning that the gifts of the Holy Spirit will be released within this body in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. How many know there are gifts that come from the Holy Spirit? the gifts of tongues and interpretation, the gifts of prophecy, the gifts of the word of knowledge, healing, discerning of spirits, miracles. We need this morning that the gifts of the Holy Spirit would be released within Grace Christian Fellowship in the name of Jesus. Friends, you need to step out. If God has given you a message in tongues and interpretation, I don't even know why I'm saying this morning. It's not in my notes, although I don't have any notes. But if I did have notes, it wouldn't be there. We need to let the Holy Spirit speak through us in the name of Jesus. We need to hear from God today. Hallelujah. We need to let the Spirit of God flow through us like never before. Hallelujah. Sometimes we just hold back. We hold back. God says, don't hold back. Let the Spirit of God speak through you. We need to see those gifts released. This is the message which we have heard from Him, and we've decided to keep it to ourselves. No, that's not what it says. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light. You know, men love darkness rather than light. I thank God this morning that we have windows in this church to let the light in. I had to do a U-turn this week, and I had to drive into another building. I won't say which building it is, but they don't preach the gospel. And I could not see one single window. Friends, we need to let the light in because God is light. Hallelujah. Let the light shine this morning. Let the countenance of Christ shine upon our lives. You could probably guess which building it was, but anyway, that's not the point. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. There's nothing imperfect about God. That's why He sent His Son as the perfect sacrifice without blemish. God never makes a mistake. Let me say that again. God never makes a mistake with your life or with my life. We call it the perfect will of God. To be zeroed in to the leading and the guiding and the direction of the Holy Spirit, it may seem like it's not working at the time, but if we'll hold on to God, He will bring us through and we'll see the fullness of all that God desires to accomplish in and through our lives. Sometimes we think God's made a mistake, but He's never led us where His grace is not sufficient to keep us. He's holy and pure. There's no darkness in God. Verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If we say that we love God and we spurn His commandments, and want nothing to do with His Holy Spirit, and rebel against every guidance He desires to give us, to mock the Word of God and say, what right does God have in my life? If those are the qualities and characteristics of our life, we're walking in darkness. If we hate our brother, we walk in darkness. If we hold on to unforgiveness, we walk in darkness. That's what the Bible says this morning. We lie and do not practice the truth. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we're saying to God, Lord, let your light shine upon me this morning. You know, sometimes we're afraid to do that. We're afraid to expose our lives to the light and the countenance of Christ because of what the light will expose. But friends, that's a good thing. Because whatever the light detects needs to be removed so the flow and the move of the Spirit of God becomes fuller through our lives. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, you know, there's a lot of talk about unity. Unity is not getting everyone in the same building. That's not unity. I've been in what we refer to as meetings where unity is preached, hundreds and maybe even thousands of people. But that's not necessarily unity. Unity is a state of the heart, where the heart is right before God. And if your heart is right before God and my heart is right before God, it doesn't matter what's written on the outside of the church doors, which denomination it is. It doesn't matter to God. But if my heart is yearning for Christ and your heart is yearning for Christ, and we let the light and the countenance of Christ shine upon us to remove the defects from our lives, it breeds unity. Hallelujah. You can't conjure up unity in the flesh. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. I said you can't conjure up unity in the flesh. It is a work of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever met someone for the very first time? Well, I'm glad you are laughing, because if you didn't, you'd be living in a cave. How about that woman that just recently was living in a cave for, what, 500 days? And she just appeared? I wonder what it was like to live in that cave for 500 days. Some people might think that's tranquility. Peace! Unity is based on the condition of our hearts. You meet someone for the very first time, and you don't even know they're a Christian yet. They haven't said it, but you just sense a oneness with them. When you meet them, before they even open up their mouths, you sense that there's a deep sense of unity with that person. You don't even know where they're from or what denomination they're part of, but you know that your heart reaches out to their heart, and their heart reaches out to your heart. But what about my doctrinal statement? What about my doctrinal statement? Please read it first and then we can unify. No, unity is more than just a doctrinal statement. It's a heart condition. When we are willing to walk in the light as he is in the light, what does the Bible say? We have fellowship with one another. We have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. You see, if I'm walking in the light, I'm exposing myself, and I'm exposing myself to God, and I'm letting Him shine His light on all my defects, sins. Did you know that there are sins of commission, but there's also sins of omission? Sin is not necessarily what we do. Sometimes it's what we don't do. And you can crawl yourself into a ball. But unless the Holy Spirit shows you, you will not detect the deepest part of the places where God needs to visit you, hallelujah, and show you the things that need to be brought under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you don't know what those things are, we can show you. And that's the purpose of the body of Christ. God uses each of us to reveal the things that God wants to work on in our lives. And that's not condemnation. That's liberty. It's liberating to be freed from sin when you confess it. Verse 8, if we say we have no sin, have you ever met a perfect person? Just point to them. There's none righteous, no, not one. Even as believers, we fall into sin. Hello? Even as Christians, we sometimes do the wrong thing. Right? Right? Yeah. My number. Yes, it would be helpful. Pastor Raff, it would be helpful. Yeah, preach it, brother. God is always doing a work in each and every one of us. That work will not conclude until the rapture or you're dead. Hello? That work will continue until either the rapture takes place, the coming of Christ, or however eschatology you have this morning, or you die. That work in the believer's heart will continue unabated. Hallelujah. I've made it. And then you look up and there's about 200 steps higher. Come on, hello? Just when you think, oh, I've got a grip on this. And God shows you where you need to be. It's like it never stops, but it's liberating. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. You know, some people practice sin and they don't see anything wrong with it. It's okay with them. Somebody's rubber stamped it, and it's okay. Continue on. Thank God for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I think someone this morning ought to thank God for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I think someone ought to lift their hands and praise God for the conviction of the Holy Spirit, because it leads to deliverance and liberty and forgiveness in Jesus' name. Pride is the root cause of this verse being stated. We have no sin. Oh, isn't it wonderful? Verse 9 says, if we confess our sins. You know, there is a key ingredient in this verse, and it's the word confess. Confess your sins to the priest. No, that's not what it says. It says confess your sins to God. Yes, there are times you have to go to people if you've wronged them and confess that you did the wrong thing. But the Bible says to confess your sins. You know, when you've done the wrong thing, you need to stop right there and say, Lord, forgive me. I did the wrong thing. I receive your forgiveness. I am cleansed and I am now purified. Don't let those sins sit on you to bring guilt and shame to your life. Don't let those sins just sit there day after day after day, bringing guilt and shame to your life. Bring them to God. Hallelujah. Tell God about your sins and say, Lord, forgive me, cleanse me, purify me. You know, there's some days, maybe that's all we're doing is confessing. But I would rather do that than let the devil use my sin or my inadequacies or my weaknesses to constantly barrage my mind with all his hating words. Just get it out there. When Nathan the prophet came to David, David said, I have sinned. And then we read Psalm 51. You say, well, some days I might do it 10, 20 times. Confess. Get it under the blood. Hallelujah. It's amazing what God can do when we get our sins under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can somebody shout amen this morning? It's amazing what the Spirit of God can do to reconcile and heal and restore us. Amen. Don't hide in shame. Confess it to God. If we confess our sins, verse 9 says, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's like a tune-up. I said, that's like a spiritual tune-up. You know, there was a time where we had to change all the spark plugs, all the other stuff that needed to be done. Now we have these electronic systems. I don't have a clue what's going on. Right, Byron? I don't have a clue what's going on. Sometimes confession brings a spiritual tune-up. God doesn't just forgive the sin. He cleanses us. He purifies us. Hallelujah. He begins to pour. Oh, hallelujah. He begins to pour into us of his Spirit. No, I'm not saying that if you confess your sins, that all the ramifications of what you've done just go away. But I am saying you will be right with God. And that's what's important. Especially in this day and age, to be right with God. Even as a believer, to be right with God. If we say that we have not sinned, verse 10, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. You say, well that's talking about unbelievers. It's talking about... No, sometimes we need to do it as Christians. As believers, as followers of Christ, we need to confess it. We need to get it under the blood. You say, well, do I have to walk upstairs on glass? You know, during Easter, in some places in the world, people are nailed to crosses. People flagellate themselves with whips. Try to somehow atone for their sins. You can never do anything in yourself to atone for your sins. Jesus already accomplished that at Calvary's cross. Hallelujah for that. Praise God. The Bible says if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. When's the last time that you confessed to God that you said the wrong thing, you did the wrong thing, you went to the wrong place, you had the wrong attitude? When's the last time you said to God, I'm being honest this morning, you'd want me to be, right? When's the last time you bowed your knee or you just stopped where you were and said, Lord, forgive me. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have went there. My attitude stunk. Yeah. Right. Good morning, brother. Come on. That's not condemnation. That's liberty. You're freeing yourself from that which would lay heavy upon your spirit. Glory to God. Get it out there. Get it out before God. Praise the Lord. Father, I have sinned. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Did you know? I want to add something here. It's not just what you say. It's not just what you do. Or you don't do. It's not just where you go. It can be what you think. If I allow certain things to stay there heavy on my mind, and I begin to think upon them, and I begin to dwell upon them, that can, in time, be a sin. Let the words of my mouth, David said, and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And let me tell you something this morning. You know what steals our joy? Unconfessed sin. That's what steals our joy. Someone's like, pump me up, Pastor. Pump me up. I have no joy. Pump me up. Sylvia, pump me up. I have no joy. No, the joy comes when the confession is made. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. When you confess it to God and you get it out there, the joy begins to bubble up again.
Okay, I've got to try to end this. Two more verses. Two. Not one, but two more verses. My little children, chapter 2, verse 1, these things I write to you that you may not sin. How many know we don't have to sin? But we do. At times we do. I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who stands in heaven, ever interceding for us. You talk about having a lawyer. You have someone standing in heaven on your behalf, bringing your case before the Father. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, somebody. Praise the Lord. And verse 2, and he himself is the propitiation. Oh, that's a big word, isn't it? Propitiation. Pastor Raff, can you say that word? Propitiation? Yes. That Jesus stood in our place to accept the wrath of God upon him because of your sin and my sin. The propitiation. I love that word. I'm going to make it part of my vocabulary. Propitiation. What did you do yesterday? Well, I studied the word propitiation. What's on the docket tomorrow? I'm going to go deeper with the word propitiation. But how many know that's what God, that's what Jesus did? He stood in our place. Lord, why have you forsaken me? Jesus cried out. Because all of our sins stood upon Christ as the wrath of God was poured out upon him. He stood in our place and paid the penalty for our sin. Praise God. So that you and I could be forgiven. Praise the Lord. I feel this morning that God wants us to confess it to him. Confess your sins. Hallelujah. And if you don't know what your sins are, ask your wife. Or your children. Let's bow our heads this morning. Father, we just come before you this morning. And we say, Lord, we are here in your presence. Lord, we pray this morning that the searchlight of Christ, the light in the countenance of God, would shine upon us, detecting anything, Lord, that we just need to confess to you. Any thoughts, Lord, any attitudes, anything that we've done or not done, any words that we've spoken that we know was not right. Lord, this morning, we are asking you right now to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, we are bowed in your presence and we're saying, Lord, cleanse me.
purify me. Wash me, O Lord. Let the bondages be broken in the name of Jesus. Oh God, I thank you, Father, for the blood of Jesus Christ this morning. I thank you for the atoning work of Christ at Calvary. And Lord, I just pray this morning that we would be free from all condemnation and we would find freedom through confession and receiving of forgiveness from you, O Lord. In the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that we can confess our sins at any time, any place, anywhere. At any time, any place, anywhere. Not just in church. Not just in a Bible study. But Lord, your Holy Spirit can show us things at any time, any place. We just need to pause and say, Lord, forgive me, cleanse me, purify me. Father, I don't care if it's 100 times in a day. Lord, I'm going to get it under the blood. I'm going to let your Holy Spirit work in me. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for tuning in and listening. We invite you next Sunday to Grace Christian Fellowship for our Sunday service. We'd love to have you join us.